Brooks Beer's Broadsides, the Civil Rights in Santa Cruz show. 3.5 hours of talk, and talk leading to action, coming at you. It's April 28th, 2002. In case you've forgotten, stay tuned. That was our own Just Kidding. And sometimes I think they're not just kidding. I don't know what to think. Good music about street scenes from Skidmark Bob, Phil Free, and occasionally some other singers who show up. Hey, thank you. That's an album. I think you can actually get a copy of their fine CD by contacting Free Radio Santa Cruz in case you want to get their Moral Compass and bonus tracks. I can't say that for sure, but I think that they might be sympathetic to cutting a disc if you want to kick in a down a donation. Give a call to 427-4523. That's the voicemail for Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, which is what you're tuned to. Again, 427-4523. And if you have a public service announcement, if you have a question, if you're interested in becoming more closely involved with the Free Radio Collective, that's the number to call, and it's the only free radio station in the Santa Cruz area, unfortunately. I've always hoped that we get some more, but hey, hasn't happened. There is some folks who have had problems and differences with the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective, and vice versa. I would like to see them get together and start their own station. We need to, you know, let a million stations bloom and that sort of thing, or at least a few. I mean, come on. Not terribly expensive. You can do it if you can rent a place to put the studio, and if you're if you got about $1,000 for a transmitter and equipment, maybe more. I probably should get some more input from the technical wizards who have put this stuff together on spit and baling wire. We've got a nice new mixing console board here, which apparently is, well, it's massive, I'll tell you, it's massive, but I'm only beginning to probe the mysteries of the mixer board, or whatever the heck we call it here. Anyway, Free Radio Santa Cruz is at 427-4523 for voicemail, but more important to me, in case you want to tune into this show and call into the show, you're hopefully already tuned in. If you're not, I'll broadcast my telepathic emanations at you. Tune to 96.3 FM, then call 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772, which is our studio line, and it's the line you can actually join us on. And we only have one of them, so you may have to be patient once the calls start coming in. They come in frequently one after another, like they did during the last show. And hey, 427, hey, like that, 3772. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is V-Man.
Hey there, V-Man.
I just wanted to point out, I just wanted to correct you. There is another pirate station, actually, operating in Santa Cruz County, and it is called Pirate Cat Radio. It's near Capitola, 97.5 FM.
97.5.
Yeah, they started at 87.9, but they were causing some interference problems in the Capitola area with KZSE, which is 88.1, right next to 87.9, and so they graciously, thankfully, moved to another clear spot on the dial, 97.5, thereby hopefully avoiding any harassment by the FCC.
Hmm.
So,
now let me ask you, how long have they been on the air?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question because it initially started in Los Gatos, California, and about 1998, I think, and eventually moved to Southern California near Los Angeles, and just in February moved up to Santa Cruz County. So probably since early March.
And this again is 97.5?
Yeah. And I'm not sure if they're on all the time. I can't actually listen to it where I live because, well, for various reasons I won't go into.
Mm-hmm.
But there happens to be some... Anyway,
yeah.
there's reasons for that I won't go into.
Okay.
And
we will, of course, have to torch you later to determine those reasons.
I think part of it also is it's only... I think it's only a 15-watt transmitter. I could be wrong about that, but... My memory serves me correctly. I think they're just 15 watts.
Have you had any contact with these criminal pretenders or attempting to challenge our monopoly of the
Not oil? Directly, no.
Huh.
I'm encouraging it, you know.
Oh, of course.
Let Jim Cosner and Big Daddy and Merlin, like you were saying, let them start their own station. And I would encourage that. It's cheap enough to do. And
you I'd know, like to see all kinds
of... They can have 24 hours of bagging on Free Radio Santa Cruz all day and our policies.
Well,
and you can have a show, too.
Hey.
I'm sure you would, because you're such a media whore, but anyway.
Well, thank you.
You know, I'm not one of your callers that kisses your ass.
You bet, man. You don't get nothing but the straight shit from the V-Man.
That's right.
Let me ask you about
it. Anyway.
Well, we can talk about that later, but any other stations opening? I heard Richard Edmondson told me of San Francisco Liberation Radio that there was a new station opening up in Oroville.
Yeah, that's a low-power FM, legal micro-power radio station, legal LPFM.
You got an update on that? I mean, how many legal low-power stations have opened in California?
In California? Two, I think.
Huh, and these are non-urban areas?
Yeah, very rural. Like, Oroville is about 15,000 people or something. It's a really small community.
Uh-huh.
I was supposed to go. They had a barn raising a couple weeks ago. I didn't make it out to that, though.
Do we know, are they still hobbled by these rather elaborate rules they have to follow and so forth?
Well, yeah, of course, they are legal. They are open to inspection any time by a federal... Communications Commission agent, so
and if you
they
say
can't curse. They, you know, they have to give station IDs. They have to have. They have to hook into the emergency broadcast system and all those other kinds of fun things like that. So
no fuck shit piss.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that. And it's always fun to say words that your mommy told you not to, but it's also sometimes very important to be able to say those words.
It's true. Free speech.
So you have a show also that concerns itself with local issues. That show is on...
Local issues? What are you talking about?
Well,
I concern myself with many, many issues. I don't just stay focused on local stuff.
Well, we're not going to hold that against you.
I'm not, like, I don't have a trust fund, and I can't go out and talk to people every day like some people. I have to work. So it's kind of hard for me to keep on top of local stuff, so I usually get on the net and get more national, regional...
You're pretty good at
national issues.
Yeah, I know, and you do good work with that. But you've also done some good work on some local issues.
Sometimes, when I when the mood strikes.
The Happy John Dine slang actually had you on the scene before others.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
My claim to fame.
Well, among other claims.
Or infamy, as it were.
Yes. Well, listen, thank you for calling in, Brian.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Take care, Robert.
And yes, this is the show that pulls no punches and tries to punch its pullers. But hey, have a punch at me if you want. 427-3772. Free Radio Santa Cruz is on the air and waiting to hear your voice. Apparently there's another free radio station on the air at 97.5 in the Capitola area. I'm going to have to try to tune that one in. I'm always glad to hear, as I said, more radio is coming on. I think it's good. I think it's long overdue, and I'm glad it's happening. But if you want to call us like that, it's 427-3772.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Robert, quit probing that nice new console with that ugly, scary thing.
Mm. Say that again?
I'm not quite sure what that last caller meant, but I'll just have to ponder it and proceed. I'm normally into the local issues as distinguished from the national and international issues, as the previous caller talked about. Both, of course, are vital. You got to cover all the issues, and that's why it's so good we have a variety of programmers on the station. I'm a bit annoyed with the progressive politicians locally who all they can talk about, if anything, are national, international issues that don't affect Santa Cruz directly. And indeed, when Santa Cruz can do something about those national, international issues, those politicians run the other way, duck, are too busy, don't return their phone calls, and certainly don't bring issues like the Bush's terroristic war up at city council for any kind of a vote or any kind of public policy statements. Instead, you get the duck and cover number, just as you have the duck and cover number on human rights issues in Santa Cruz, around issues like the criminalization of the poor, as seen most vividly in the endless, long, festering sore of the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance in Santa Cruz. 6.36010A, our municipal code, passed 24 years ago and still repressing 2,000 or so, well, 1 to 2,000 homeless people every night. Not directly. They don't all get to go to jail. They don't all have to fear immediate, well, they all have to fear the potential for immediate arrest, search, harassment, the midnight wake-up. And that's a conscious choice of our Santa Cruz City Council. And indeed, one of our being those of us who don't agree with that, who don't agree that human rights suppression is good policy and good law in Santa Cruz, are coming together for a Right to Sleep Summit. And this is another one of those periodic efforts to try to see if we have the activist muscle to start a campaign to end the sleeping ban that would proceed over the summer and actually have some punch to it, some persistence, some, who knows, get somebody to do some funding. It's more important, though, the energy, I think, and the fact that people might actually have the time and commit themselves to the event or the series of events, and it's not going to be any one event that changes this horrible law and that begins the process of decriminalization. The summit's going to be held this next weekend, Friday and Saturday, and even into Sunday, although the summit formally ends on Saturday. Going to have folks from the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco, from Berkeley Outreach Support Services in Berkeley and the Berkeley Homeless Union, from Isla Vista Camp, alternately known as Teepee Village or Camp Home Sweet Home, Homes on Wheels in Santa Barbara, Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon, SHOC, Sacramento Housing Organizing Committee, or Homelessness Organizing Committee, sorry, coming from our state's capital, where Gray Davis did his famous chuck and jibe, or actually little noticed chuck and jibe, with a so-called homeless summit in the last week. We're also angling to get folks from Las Vegas, where there's been a big crackdown, and ACLU people have been coming up, unlike Santa Cruz, to defend folks accused of sleeping or camping, when these are in fact life-sustaining activities that are necessary. Plus, of course, our very own Camp Paradise, which not only generated national media, but stirred up local activists to support in such a way that they held off the council for 8 months until the river flooded Camp Paradise, and you now have Camp Paradise in a being hosted by a church out in Aptos, rather limited version of Camp Paradise, so I understand, about 15 people, or at least that's what it was a week or two ago, and when I got the latest update. Hoping to get an update today from Camp Paradise. Anyway, the Right to Sleep Summit is going to bring together all these folks, and anyone who is interested in being a part of this discussion, which is going to be around what can we do to decriminalize homelessness, and perhaps more specifically, although the actual parameters of the conversation are going to be dependent upon what the people who come want to talk about and what they want to plan to do. It's not just a philosophical conversation. It is an attempt to see if we can, A, support different encampments up and down the coast, ranging from Dome Village in Los Angeles to Seattle's Tent City 3. And I think we may actually have a bus of six people coming down from Seattle. Scott up there got back to me and said he was coming down if he could get insurance for his bus. So it's going to be quite an affair. It's going to have a sampling of encampments from all kinds of different places up and down the coast. And hopefully we'll come out of that conference, and I'm just, you know, stating my own personal hopes, with both an understanding of whether we have a critical mass of activists to do something this summer in Santa Cruz or somewhere else, and can start really planning for that and mobilizing for that, perhaps a come to Santa Cruz, go to sleep, go to jail campaign for late summer, such as broke the back of the Santa, sleeping ban in Santa Barbara, California, about 14 years ago, actually, 1986, whenever that was, under the leadership of a national homeless activist, Mitch Snyder, and the Creative Community for Nonviolence out of Washington, D.C., we're going to have some experts talking about that, who were there for that victory, which broke the sleeping ban in Santa Barbara, only for a period of time. 4 years later, conservative city council forces returned it, but there's that victory has never really been abolished, because the organizations created during that period of time, the education done, the sympathies generated, and the resources that are sort of kicked up there are now in play in Santa Barbara as another chapter happens. We've been following that too, where Glenn Maurer, former head of the Public Defender's Office, and it's amazing that someone of that level of government would take an interest in homeless people. When he was forced out of the Public Defender's Office, he became an active, tireless supporter of the civil rights of homeless people, and for the last 3 years he's been taking virtually every homeless case that comes along that involves sleeping, camping, bogus harassment of homeless people for things like open containers, dogs, and so forth, and winning them one after another. I mean, I think he's had a few defeats, but very few. I mean, like less than 5%, as I understand it. And more important, or as important, or really important for us up here, the famous necessity defense, which says, whatever the law says, the legislature, the city council, they can write whatever laws they want, but if it's a really life-sustaining choice that a homeless person has to make, if there is a necessity of doing something to avert a greater evil, that can successfully be used, in essence, to say, you know, take your sleeping ban and stick it up your you-know-what, because you have to, the basic right to survive is more important than the willingness to jump through the hoops and rules that the middle-class legislators have set up. And that was the case that Maurer successfully appealed a judge's sort of slapping down of the sleeping ban necessity defense, as Commissioner Joseph here slapped down the use of necessity defense in the Camp Paradise tickets last November. And Maurer won at an appeals court level. It's not quite high enough for it to be a binding precedent here, but it is precedent that can be cited, and it is binding precedent in Santa Barbara. So what that means is not that the sleeping ban is considered unconstitutional there, or they call it the camping ban there. They don't really use the sleeping ban anymore. They use the camping ban and camping and so-called camping or inhabitating vehicles. Sleeping, apparently, it's becoming a little touchy. It's just simply arrest and jail and fine someone for sleeping. It's considered a little bit beyond the pale. Not, of course, in liberal, progressive Santa Cruz, but down there in Santa Barbara, which is a more conservative community in many ways, or it's, you know, it seems that way in some respects. It's richer, it's older, it's bigger. I think it is more conservative, and although again, I don't have, I, as I think about that and talk about that, it's not clear what the parameters are. But you have a situation where people can actually effectively appeal these tickets, and that's one of the other strategies discussed at the Right to Sleep Summit coming up next weekend. How do you fight the criminalization of the homeless on a number of fronts, through direct action, through legal challenge, through art, through music, through encampments, of course, is going to be one of the basic discussions, because not only do you need to sleep, but you need to be in a community where you are protected from beatings and harassment and so forth. And I ask the patience of my listeners who have heard all this 100 times on this station, for those who haven't, because this goes out to everyone, and I'm really hoping that folks who are interested in being a part of a real campaign to end this criminalization of the poor will show up interested in working and devoting time in the months ahead to this, and certainly interested in contributing information at this Right to Sleep Summit. It's free. We're actually going to provide food, but it is a working event. I mean, we are interested in getting stuff done, and so you should come if you think you're interested in doing stuff and being a part of that. You don't have to commit yourself to doing this or that or anything else. You can come and find out and share information and hear what's happening in other parts of the coast. Who knows, maybe other parts of the country. I'm not sure how far this has extended. We've gotten some emails of one as far away, actually a phone call as far away as Alaska. The guy said he was going to come down to the summit now. I haven't heard from him since, so I don't know. But there is broad interest in this Right to Sleep Summit. If you want to be a part of the final planning session of the summit, we are doing that through HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which meets every Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square. That's at 1107 Ocean. So you're welcome to join that Wednesday 8:30 a.m. session. If you want more information, can't come to it, but you want to know more about it, you can give a call to 423-HUF. 423-4833. There's a sort of a long message on my machine. You can skip it by pushing the pound key, 423-HUF, and get a little information about the Right to Sleep Summit. The address of the summit is 1135 North Brancaforte. That's about four blocks from the freeway. It's about four blocks from Water Street. It's the house of Thomas Levitt, actually. And it's going to be quite something. It's kind of ironic. Thomas's last big shindig that I heard about at his house, which is a big house with a big backyard, was the kickoff party for Councilwoman Emily Riley, before she was a councilwoman, when she used to be an activist back in the old days. And you may remember I read, if you were listening to the last show, Councilwoman Riley's 1999 letter denouncing the sleeping ban and urging council to do something, and talk about how cold it was when she walked to her bakery in the morning and how important it was to take some action to pass, in essence, to pass David Silva's sleeping ban repeal initiative of 1999. And then, of course, when she got close to power and got into power, she completely reversed herself and, in fact, began voting anti-homeless measures, such as signs at the Harvey West, from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., supposedly for street cleaning, but as we heard from activist Kathy last show, whose vehicle was towed and his dogs were impounded, they don't even show up to clean. They clean once a week, not once every day. It was a completely bogus pretext. It was simply designed to pander to the bigotry and fear and some of the legitimate concerns of Harvey West Area Association people like Don Hubbard, who's a jolly old guy, but he's really wrong on this issue about civil rights for homeless people. He just doesn't understand, or he puts other matters at a higher priority. Anyway, it's all happening at Levitt's house, where this Riley shindig happened a couple years ago, and Thomas is now kind of a leading light in the Green Party, and he's been pushing to have the Green Party come on board actively and truly around civil rights for homeless people. He, activist Linda LeMaster, Nick Whitehead, myself, Becky Johnson, Carl Wilson, all have been trying to get the Green Party to get back into least fulfilling its campaign platform, and we may probably have some. I'm sure we'll have representation from the Green Party there. They've endorsed this Right to Sleep summit coming up next weekend. Housing Now in Santa Cruz, a group co-founded by Linda LeMaster, has endorsed it. The Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco, a powerful, outspoken group that publishes the paper Street Sheet. You don't usually see that around here. You see Street Spirit, but not so much Street Sheet. But I do have copies of Street Sheet for anybody who's interested. They've been printing for longer than Street Spirit. They're almost the longest paper in the on the West Coast. I think the only one older is the Street Shit Sheet, the Santa Cruz homeless newspaper, which never comes out anymore, but used to come out quite regularly, or at least quite frequently. Not quite regularly, but they're coming. They're coming down. They'll be doing workshops on 647J, which is the state anti-homeless, so-called anti-lodging law, which Berkeley, a year ago, passed a resolution saying that police there should make its enforcement the lowest priority, only do so after warnings and complaints. And if we could get something like that here, it would be great, although they don't use 647J here, but all kinds of things are happening. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Put them to work in the field.
Oh ho! It's that that man of the people, Bob LaMonica. How you doing, Bob?
Good, Robert. How about that as a solution? The so-called homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Put them to work in the fields.
Well, there are plenty of homeless people actually working in the fields now. They're usually browner of skin than most of us because they're more. I guess they're more desperate.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the homeless. Let's say at the Homeless Resource Center.
I see. So you think a little, you're talking about compulsory work, or you're talking about what Scott Rhodes called slave labor?
Well, I mean, it is a solution, isn't it? I mean, there is a need for farm workers. It would provide
wouldn't
income.
Wouldn't we be undercutting people like the Farm Workers Union? I mean, I can see unionizing people to do work like that, and I know that I've talked about a union of the homeless, which at one time or another has kind of appeared and then disappeared. You know, I think offering jobs is a great idea, and I think that, you know, there are a lot of homeless people who want to work. In fact, there are a number of homeless people who work now. I think more than a majority are actually work at the current time. But
so what about as a general solution, though? All the farm work that's needed in America for the indigent, put them to work in the fields.
Well, I certainly think they should be offered work. I'm not quite sure what you're proposing. Are you saying that
well,
they should
there
be given
are, there
priority?
Are, I'm not that clear on how many migrant camps there are in Central California, but I'm sure there are some right here in Santa Cruz County.
Well, we actually have some guests in the studio with some rather strong views on that. The notoriously outspoken, and I might even say rude, Jerry Henry, and his evil sidekick, Scott Rhodes. Would you like to have a colloquy with them, perhaps, on this subject?
If they'd like to speak about the issue, sure.
Well, let me do this. Let me kind of arrange. It's going to take a little futzing around here while I get the studio set up. Can you call back in about 5 minutes?
Sure.
Sounds good. Sorry about that squeal, folks. Nobody was getting killed there, but it was one of those things. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and we're going to kick down here as we listen to a little more of the fine Just Kidding. Stay with us.
Dance the whole night long.
And that was the notorious Phil Free singing in the Just Kiddin' album. Again, if you want to kick down with a donation, I'm suspecting I can persuade the local remnants of Just Kiddin' to get together and, or at least kick down a special CD for your listening pleasure. But give a call to 427-4523 if you want to get some real local Santa Cruz music. And there's a bunch of stuff on here that's beyond local. The famous Masturbate and Smash the State, of course, famous from the mid-90s. And I played it last time before we went off the air. Hey, for those of you who wish to have a little musical accompaniment as you find your own private joy. Anyway, get some public joy and call into Free Radio. We can talk about what's publicly shareable and what's not. So, try that again, caller. I see someone was calling in, and for some reason they got cut off. Let's see if we can get back with that. With us in the studio now, we have Scott Rhodes and Jerry Henry. These are, I'm going to call them activists. Some would call them malcontents. I don't know what they call themselves. What do you guys call yourselves?
I'm Trouble.
That's Jerry.
Belligerent.
So, Jerry's Trouble, and Scott is belligerent. I got to remind you guys, if you really want to do this right, you got to belly up to the mic so you're almost smooching with the mic. That means you can either pull it out of this stand or you can just get up close to it. Calling number for Free Radio Santa Cruz is 427-3772. And I guess we were talking about, I was kind of finishing up with the Right to Sleep Summit. Let me do that. There's going to be an agenda out shortly so people can get a clearer idea of the kinds of workshops that are going to be available. Activist Jane Hagstrom, who's works up in Berkeley now, who's a high mucky muck in the mental health industry, God help her. But she's still an activist concerned with homeless civil rights, ironically enough. I don't know how many people she's involuntarily hospitalized. That'll have to be an issue that comes up here. However, she's also been a fighter for civil rights in Santa Barbara, or she was 15, 16 years ago, did her thesis on it, and she was instrumental in helping to end the sleeping ban in Santa Barbara between 1986 and 1990. And she's going to be talking, as she did 5 years ago here during the City Hall Sleepers Vigil at City Hall, 6 years ago, in 1996, about how it was successful in Santa Barbara and how such a movement might be successful here. We're also going to have Terry Messman of Street Spirit. He's the editor of that fine paper, probably the best homeless paper in the country for my money. Certainly has some of the best articles by that Norse guy and other unnamed Santa Cruz activists. Actually, they should be named Linda LeMaster, Becky Johnson, Sherry Connable, Laura Tucker. Other locals have all contributed articles. I think David Silva has even done an article for Street Spirit. Lots of good work. Elena Smith has done photos. And actually, anybody out there who wants to contribute to Street Spirit, you give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's kind of an all-purpose number, both for that, and also if you have any questions about stuff that's happened on the show that you don't really want to bring immediately up to the public, and or informational questions you don't think require going on the air for, the phone number you've missed, an email address, 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F. Plus, that gives you information on the Right to Sleep Summit. So the Right to Sleep Summit starts probably around 5 o'clock. Some folks will be coming earlier to 1135 North Branson 40. That's going to be the site. There's going to be camping overnight there. Beware. Legal camping, because there's a backyard, at least for some folks, although we're encouraging people to find their own accommodations, because Thomas can't accommodate everybody. And then there's going to be music, there's going to be probably no orgies, at least nothing public. We're trying to focus on the more serious subjects, you know. But hey, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. You're going to have people from all kinds of different places that you never saw before, including some of the same old faces and those same wonderful voices, like the one you're hearing now. I'm going to be emceeing a little bit of it. Thomas Levitt will be emceeing others. Other people are going to be doing contributions. And then it's going to go, main workshops will happen on Saturday, and then there will be a meeting of the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project. Try and say that fast. It's all called, they call themselves C-Crop. I've disparaged them by calling them C-Crap on the radio before. But they are a well-intended project by the Coalition on Homelessness and other groups to sort of form a statewide and linking up with the national homeless civil rights movement. The problem is that in the past they have been more concerned, it seems to me, with, they've gotten bogged down in process and they've been wrapped up in, well, their big project for the last year was getting together a forum for people to complain about. I mean, I don't even want to go there at this point. But they're going to be meeting, and who knows, maybe we can turn them in a positive direction. There certainly is a fine activist leading the group, Mara Rader of the Coalition on Homelessness, who does all kinds of good things up in San Francisco, fighting Gruesome Newsom, that's Gavin Newsom, supervisor up there, his horrible laws, and fighting for the civil rights of homeless people in terms of taking claims to small claims court, and like that. Now, I'm still waiting for that challenging Uncle Bob to call back. So if you want to call back, Bob, please do. If something is drawing you away from the phone, that's okay, too. I guess what we should do is have an open Sally here. How about the proposal of putting everyone to work on the farms? What do you think about that one there, Scott Rhodes, or Mr. Belligerent? Wait, go ahead. You say what you're going to say. And we'll
I don't really understand what exactly that would solve at all, especially in this county. I don't see how that would get anyone off the streets with the housing prices. And in fact, the attitude I see is kind of looking at people as if they're undesirable eaters, like happened in Nazi Germany and led to the social and the ethnic cleansing of Nazi Germany.
We have on the line with us Uncle Bob. Bob, what you've heard that response. What's your thought on that?
Most of the so-called homeless, and forgive me for being so bold, because I'd like to see what happens when this stuff comes out, maybe in a crass way, but most of the so-called new millennium homeless are white, and they reject field work, which would be a rather easy and homegrown solution to the dilemma.
Now, Bob, can you hear me? Are you next to your radio?
What's that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's true in non-urban areas, perhaps, but certainly not in urban areas. Like San Francisco, you have, and even in Watsonville, I would say that the majority of homeless people are not white, you know, but I guess we're talking Santa Cruz. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would say we're talking, from what I see, in the media, in the United States, we're talking generally European-derived people.
Uh-huh. Well, so what's the significance of the race on this?
Well, what I'm saying is that field work is very important,
mm-hmm.
absolutely necessary, and of course very hard. Stoop labor is not easy,
mm-hmm.
which is why we have loopholes in the law to import people up from Mexico. Because people of European derivation shun it in our time.
Well, isn't it partially because the wages are so bad and the working conditions are so horrible, too? I mean...
Well, okay, the fact remains, though, and I'm not disagreeing with you, the fact remains that somebody has to do that work.
Oh, I agree. And
so we have these homeless,
mm-hmm.
And they're poor. And they can't afford housing. Well, there you go.
Well, would that kind of work enable them to afford housing? Here's Jerry.
It would enable them to live in camps.
Well, I'm sorry, that would violate the sleeping and camping ban.
Well, I mean, they would have to vacate San Francisco. I mean, 10,000 homeless people in San Francisco.
13,000.
Would be a good labor pool for Western migrant worker requirements.
Jerry Henry has something to say about this.
Oh, I don't know why. You know, I don't know where to start. I think first off, the United States has probably gone to the corporate food production and has lost a lot of culture, where people did work on the farm, not the corporation, worked in family environments, actually had villages where people had their places. I think we're losing a lack of diversity, which is really dangerous. I think that's why it's so important that the decriminalization of the homeless is where everything has to start, the stopping of the criminalization of a category of people. I would like to, you know, can we have some return to culture, civilization, permaculture, where everything isn't corporate, or you're going to get picked up by the truck to take into the corporate field to do your corporate work, which is a lot of, I believe, where Nazi Germany was when they filled their potholes. I mean, are the potholes next? Is the chain gang next?
Any thoughts on that one, Uncle Bob?
Well, I'll put it this way. I've never even heard it floated as an option. And how many homeless people that you know of have even temporarily done field work to get themselves going again?
I have.
And I once again stress that this is important work. Essential work has to be done by somebody.
Well, how much does it pay? I mean, that's you're asking some interesting questions. I need some data, though, and I don't.
Well, it pays so meagerly.
Yeah.
That we have created a loophole in the law to bring up people from Mexico to work in American fields.
Right. Well, wages generally, as you know, in the Santa Cruz area are so miserable that we have the second or third worst. It used to be the worst housing market in the in the country. Not because we're such a much more ritzy neighborhood than Hillsboro or Beverly Hills or, I don't know, Long Island, but because the wages are so horrible. It's not just, farm work that's horrible. It's other wages, too, that are horrible.
Well, I think this raises a lot of issues. There are migrant labor camps. There is a growing homeless issue. In my opinion, they are generally of European descent. They reject field work. The option is not even floated, and it should be at least considered, other than calling it Nazi.
Well, what do you say there, Jerry?
What I define as Nazi is the fact of when it is forced, when the trucks roll, and you are going to get on this truck and come with us, sir. This is at least my understanding of Nazi Germany. You could say leading up to the problems in Germany, is that they regularly had these trucks to pick up the eaters, the
non-productive
people that they saw to that society. That's why I think the decriminalization of the homeless and I think there's alternatives that can be brought up that may well be a solution that would revolve around agriculture or culture. A more cultural root society. I think a lot of your European homeless would more than be willing to participate. These are just feelings I have.
I think Bob, you're making a point about how, again, the problem is, it seems to me that you're sort of suggesting that if only these folks abandon some of their middle class white attitudes, they could just sort of jump into the fields and get a fresh start. Is that your suggestion?
Well, I wouldn't even call it middle class white. I would call it irrelevant, irreverent denial of reality, because somebody picks up the tab, even if you're existing off of St. Francis Soup Kitchen. Ultimately, there's some kind of an economic link in there, and this whole thing about corporate this and corporate that, and to me, it's not honest with reality.
You know, I guess my problem is that what I hear here is this, these welfare cheats, these welfare bums, I mean, not saying that, but this is a similar kind of attitude which somehow suggests that there's all these wonderful, easy, free facilities that people can live off of that are just make it the life of Riley, and, you know, these are really just a bunch of bums with their feet, you know, their feet up on the table and, you know, their butts on the sidewalk. And I don't really think that accurately describes the situation. What do you guys think? Jerry here has been doing a food operation for several years. You too, Scott. What do you think?
I personally think we can't look at people like that. We can't look at people as somehow being as non-productive people to society, because I think that's what led to the problems in Germany, is where you have an attitude where they owe society something. I think that as a people and as a society, our true value is in how well we help people who have need, and how much service we give to people who have need. I think that's where the true value of society lies.
Response?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Well, you know, true value. Somebody picks up the tab. There are economic realities in sustaining life. Okay? It is impossible to take too many steps back behind the corporate, global, government reality. All right, and to advertise.